So hopefully this loads in a sec. There we go. I'm Scott Robertson. I'm a PhD student at PhD candidate at Penn State in information sciences and technology. But what I'll be speaking about is related to approaches and solutions to mental health community inclusion for people with mental health disabilities. I say cross disabilities, a little bit misnomer. I'm going to be talking more about how lessons from the developmental disability community for integration of people with mental health disabilities. I have no financial disclosures to report and no funding to report, unfortunately, maybe in the future, hopefully. So why I'm interested in this topic, so motivation, partly personal, both autistic adult and have mental health disabilities, so this is interested for me personally is mental health inclusion. And also from an advocacy background for adults and youth with disabilities, including developmental disabilities, through my experiences, I've had many challenges with the mental health system, many difficulties with fitting in and adjusting and getting integrated and trouble with the systems. So it's interesting for me to explore the space. And I think it also makes for interesting research, especially with a lot of my research is on how technology and supports together can fit together to improve quality of life, community integration, self-determination. And there's ongoing focus on this area, but not necessarily focus that's gluing together and looking at other disability communities and how that can be tapped to be supporting development of support services and technologies to support integration and inclusion for adults and youth with mental health disabilities. So why are we seeking mental health and community inclusion? Well, many people with mental health disabilities, both adults and youth, remain very segregated from their society and local communities. Some live in segregated living situations permanently or most of the time. Some numbers I've seen out there, about 40,000 people still live in mental health facilities. But this number is actually probably much larger than this because it's a transient population. It's difficult to count at times. You have individuals coming out constantly, maybe in there for a month, for weeks, and then out and then back in again. So there's a lot of movement and flux, so it's hard to put exact numbers. But even beyond living in segregated facilities, there's much exclusion from educational, societal, recreational activities because of stigma, attitudes, norms, supports, variety of different factors that exclude people with mental health disabilities. So it's not quite like one flew over the cuckoo's nest anymore in the system, but there are a lot of challenges in mental health for people with disabilities. I unfortunately had to experience that actually firsthand, seeing inside what the system looks like even in a facility myself previously a year ago. And it's some of the conditions are kind of deplorable in terms of how people do not have access to things that I think are very meaningful under the ADA and under disability rights laws and what we take for granted disability rights, access to communication technologies, access to supports and services. That seem to be a barrier often in mental health settings because of the focus so much on safety and well-being of the individual, often at the exclusion of their disability rights. So there is a greater focus and more movement toward integration in communities for adults and youth with mental health disabilities. And I think that the mental health integration movement can be learning more from what we've been seeing in the greater disability community and specific subpopulations in the disability community that have moved toward inclusion and societal integration over the last several decades, including the developmental disability community. So for instance, in the DD community, we have this wonderful act called the Developmental Disabilities Assistance and Bill of Rights Act, known informally as the DD Act often for short. And in the DD Act, it says, disability is a natural part of the human experience that does not diminish the right of individuals with developmental disabilities to live independently, exert control and choice over their own lives, and to fully participate in and contribute to their communities through full integration and inclusion in the economic, political, social, cultural, and educational mainstream of United States society. And this is done in a manner of achieving full integration and inclusion in society in an individualized manner consistent with unique strengths, resources, priorities, concerns, abilities, and capabilities of each individual. And this is done also alongside service and supports that enable this and that are laid out in the DD Act. So it says the purpose of this title is to assure that individuals with developmental disabilities and their families participate in the design of and have access to needed community services, individualized supports, and other forms of assistance that promote self-determination, independence, productivity, and integration and inclusion in all facets of community life through culturally competent programs authorized under this title. So this sends a really strong message of community integration and full participation in all facets of life. But we don't really have something comparable to this in the mental health sphere. There is no Mental Health Assistance Bill of Rights Act. There are general contracts in the ADA for integration of people with disabilities in general. So for instance, would inform the Olmstead decision of 1999, good services, facilities, privileges, advantages, and accommodations shall be afforded to an individual with a disability in the most integrated setting appropriate to the needs of the individual. So if you're familiar with the Olmstead decision, this is informing that. But the problem is, this leaves open a space in that phrase, most integrated setting appropriate to the needs, that can be difficult to really make sure you put in place ADA disability rights and be meeting safety right for the individual, and can lead often to segregation, disempowerment, and rights removal. And so the spirit of the ADA may not apply as originally envisioned for MEPA with mental health disabilities. The other thing is the DD Act speaks more toward life activities, for instance, civic, cultural, education, vocational, etc., for full community participation. While the ADA's integration passage speaks more to people with disabilities in the context of a consumer of services and goods in full engagement in society and local communities rather than life activities. So this kind of set the founding in values for me to be looking at in my, it's a work in progress, if you will, that I'm hoping is moving toward a conceptual review journal article and maybe some empirical work in this area on both strategies and approaches from the DD community and the broader disability community to inform integration of people with mental health disabilities. So strategies, approaches, and barriers, and also some recommendations alongside this for policy, research, and practice. So I'm just going to just briefly overview some of these. I'm not going to go into too much depth, but for instance, on strategies and approaches, things like empowerment of the voices of people with disabilities, while this has been marginalized often in the self-advocate community of the DD community, it's growing, I think, in empowerment, and there's a lot of financial resources out there and a lot of structures for self-advocates to be speaking about their minds. But people with mental health disabilities, particularly when they are in institutional settings, are very disempowered from having their voices and interests presented. Communities of practice, for instance, to support collaboration of and resource exchange in the service system, use of technologies, which is really valuable to me as a long-term part of this process, partnerships between the disability community and non-disability community, which you see really is a growing space, but I don't really see that. I mean, feel free to correct me in the question session, but I haven't really seen out there much on partnerships on the mental health sphere as much as I'd like for integration. And use of flexible approaches to service delivery. And then there's barriers that I've seen out there, and again, this is a work in progress. This is going to be changing and fluxing a little bit. This is what I'm looking at right now. Barriers to inclusion that I've seen that could be informing mental health inclusion include bridging funding streams for supports and services, destigmatizing attitudes and stereotypes and myths about people with disabilities can really have a negative impact on their ability to be integrated among people without disabilities, segregating norms and traditions. All these really have a large impact on the ability to integrate, but haven't been thought of from my perspective, what I'm seeing out there in the mental health community as much as they have in the broader disability community. And the enhancers are somewhat the opposite of this. I'm missing something on the, this should say enhancers for inclusion, are the opposites in terms of you have flexible funding streams for supports and services, you have more empowering attitudes, you have more universal design approaches to supports, more targeted supports, and more broader-based thinking. And overlaying this, I've been conceiving of how recommendations can apply in the context of these strategies and barriers that I'm laying out, including this comes part from the envisioning from the DD Act, is to be working toward policy specifically around mental health. I don't know whether this could be its own policy in terms of its own statute or part of another statute that could lay out more mental health inclusion values, borrowing heavily, for instance, from the DED Act, and involving a wide variety of stakeholders in the process, including self-advocates. Recommendations for research in terms of exploring this process further, and how values from the broader disability community and the DED community can inform mental health community inclusion and the development of supports and services and technologies to support this process, and for practice to be coming together and developing collaborations around this area, and how people from a variety of different communities can come together to be engaging in supporting mental health community inclusion. And so just in conclusion, and sorry if I went by a little bit fast, I'm a little bit nervous. This is my first oral presentation. Last year I did a poster at APHA, and I wanted to make sure I didn't overstep my time too much, and sometimes they go too fast if I do that, so forgive me if I went too fast a little bit on this. In conclusion, I've been looking at some values, strategies, and approaches, and barriers, and enhancers for inclusion of people with mental health disabilities that are informed by the broader disability community and the developmental disability community. And this is hopefully going to be helping me to crystallize this into a journal article and maybe be informing empirical work in this space that can help buttress how we can be looking at technological and service and supports to be empowering integration for in the communities for people with mental health disabilities. And that's it.